Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Just turn to someone next to you and say, it's time for you to arise and shine. Tell him their light has come. Amen. I wanted to, this morning, oh, by the way, this time yesterday, I just want to let you into a little window of my life. Yesterday morning, or yesterday afternoon, I was down our garden. You know, we had all those strong winds. Well, they took three of our very, very tall conifers out. And so one of them was leaning against a birch tree like that. The second one was leaning a little bit like that. And the third one was leaning like that as well. And we decided the only thing we could do was we'd have to take them out. So being a great, my lovely wife, Claire, right here today, she, like any good wife, she said, I said, I'm going to take those trees out. She said, no, you're not. And any of you husbands ever do what your wives say? Sometimes. Well, if I hear no, you can't, or no, you that always puts something in me that says I can. And so yesterday morning I said to her, I'm just going to look at this tree down the garden. Next thing, I got the chainsaw out, up the ladder, and we started taking. So I took this tree down yesterday. It's a very tall conifer. And then I was blessed in the afternoon. One of the guys from the church came round to see what I was doing, and so he helped me. So the two of us took the second one out. So we've got one to go. You know, God wants us to be people who don't take no as an answer. I'm not saying don't do what your wife says, but please. But God wants us to have a tenacious spirit that we can do it. We can heal the sick. We can see the lost saved. We've got a story to tell in our workplace. And every week, God wants to work miracles. You know, in my office at home, I've got this. I was going to bring it in this morning, I just forgot. But I've got a great big sign hanging on one of my cupboard doors. It says, expect a miracle. So every day we should expect a miracle. I'm expecting a miracle this morning, that God's going to work miracles in our lives today. As we respond to God and respond to his word, we can expect a miracle. God's a miracle-working God. The very fact that I'm standing here today is a miracle. It's made up of many miracles. That's why we're here. That's why you're here this morning. And another one I've got is a much smaller sign. I thought I'd take it into my office at Roffey, seeing I'm not in my office very much at Roffey. And it says, gone fishing. Fishing for souls. So anyway, we're going to have, I want us just to read a couple of verses just to encourage you this morning. 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. It says, no eye has seen or ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love Jesus this morning? Yeah. Well, God's word says that actually what he wants to do is beyond you. Bigger than you, greater than you, and you can't possibly even begin to even ask or imagine those things that he's about to do. He's planned great things for you personally, but also for us as a church. That's why it's very exciting to be a part of Kingdom Faith, because of the promises and the purpose of God, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And we're walking these times now. While we're worshipping God, I don't know about you, but every time I worship God, I begin to cry. I mean, I don't actually break down. Maybe that's to come. But I just feel tears coming in my eyes. And the reason is because the presence of Jesus is getting stronger. Yes. I meet with him in a much deeper way than I did a year ago. Yeah. And last year, I met with him much deeper than the year before that. There's a progression of what God is doing. And he really wants us to encounter him in worship and in prayer, in our meeting with him, so that we can carry what he's done and he's doing into us, out into society, out to our neighbours, out to that drug addict down on the street there. He wants us to reach people for Christ. And if we encounter him that way, we're going to be very soft in our hearts. And God will make us very bold in the things that we say and do. But he wants to make us very soft in our hearts. And there's something about the gentleness of Jesus, something about his meekness that just melts us. Do you agree? God's got great things that he's planned. And, you know, there's a tide that has already turned. It's already beginning. All these floods that we've had, all the waters, it's not a good picture for us as a nation, but in another way it is. It's a great picture of what happens when water comes. Yeah. And God has turned a tide. We're actually in a new season where the tide has turned. And this river, I tell you, nothing is going to stop it. Nothing will stop what the Holy Spirit has planned to do and is already beginning to do in different parts of our nation and around the globe. God is moving very powerfully. And it's up to us personally, our personal responsibility to meet with God and to really walk very, very close to him. Let the Holy Spirit really come and take control, take over in our lives. But then it's up to us as a body of people, as a people, that God will begin to move through us. There's a real movement of God. And when a flood comes, there's nothing you can, a big flood, nothing can stop it. These rivers are bursting their banks. No man can stop it. They can try and contain it. But what God is doing and what he's about to do is something that cannot be contained. It's something that is awesome. And many of you had dreams and visions about this. God has spoken to you and given you words. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're part of Kingdom Faith. That's why we believe that God has so many promises of what he wants to do to impact not just our region, but our nation. And impact nations because of the powerful gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is united in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a new time and a new season where people that have lived in the old, even perhaps yourselves, have been in something that was old. And it's like our life, our Christian life, is made up of ditching old things, ditching old habits, ditching old way of doing things, and stepping into the new things that God's doing. Because God always does something new. That's why every week our meetings should be different. Every week, our life should be different. Every week, we should find new things and new ways in which God wants to flow through us. Because he's a now God, isn't he? And I've just started a group in Crawley called On Fire. And I don't know how long it's going to last. I said it'd be for 5 weeks, but our fifth week is this week. And the reason I did it was because six men actually, wouldn't come to our church meeting. So I thought, right, we're going to invite them into someone's home then. Yeah. So we invited them into the home. All of them came bar one. So five of them have come, and we're into our fifth week. And basically, I'm just challenging week by week with the gospel, with Jesus, with the truth that's in the word, and looking at different scriptures and then sharing testimony, but also what it really means to follow Christ. And I believe that when we conclude this, and I don't know how that's going to be, that we'll have five men that are on fire for Jesus. Amen. So that the old becomes new. And God wants us to have a vision that each one of us is to arise and shine in this time, that each one of us will have the privilege of leading people to Christ. Have the joy of leading our neighbours, even relatives and friends and people that we go out to in the streets or in the workplace, wherever God takes us, that the Holy Spirit's moving and he does the job. He does the job of saving people. It's his work. It's the work of the Spirit. If we can get that into our hearts, that it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does this, it's not us. We're here to work with him. So it's like he stands. I see him like standing by me. He's about, I don't know how, about a million miles tall. And I'm standing next to him. And so when I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus with someone, I'm aware that he's standing with me. His Spirit is in me. And we work together. And when you understand that that's happening, then the Holy Spirit is his work. So when you're talking to someone about Jesus, it's his work to convict them of their sin. It's his work to reveal who he is. It's his work to demonstrate his power, perhaps by healing them, by praying for them. It's his work. It's altogether his work. And I used to think it was my work. So I worked really, really hard at trying to win people and decided it wasn't the best way. And then the Holy Spirit challenged me. He said, Paul, I just want you to let me come and take over. Just let me come and take control. And so I'm learning in these more recent years of my Christian life that to let the Holy Spirit come and take control. He doesn't do things I would do the way I would do them. He doesn't always say things the way I would say them, but the Holy Spirit's at work. And we have to follow through with what he says and what he does. And you'll find that will work. And people will be saved. People will be won. People will be healed. And miracles will happen. And as a whole body, as Kingdom Faith, we're going to see a mighty, mighty move of God. As every member witnesses to the power of Jesus Christ, to his death and his resurrection, and witnesses to their friends, to their neighbours, and believes that when they step out, God will move. Are you with me? That's the kind of church God's looking for, right here. And let's go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And it says here, I'm going to read round about, well, we'll just read from verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, just say strengthened, with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love. It's talking about the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amazing, amazing scripture. That's my testimony. My testimony is that from when I got born again, through a little bit of turbulence through my teenage years, but Jesus was still there, right there with me, and then getting baptized in the Spirit about 17, the power of God and the revelation of his love has been with me through my life. And it is this love, it's this fullness that God wants to fill us all with. He wants us to baptize us with his love. He wants the whole church to be baptized in love. That's what makes us one. And as we're walking that unity of his love together, then the glory of God comes. And people out there want to know, what is it about you? What is it about your church? What is it about you, this group of people? Because they actually see Jesus in our lives. Do you agree? Yeah. Now, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, where? In the church. You see that? So it's saying here, to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even have imagined, according to the power that works in us. His power is in us, and God is working, and he's going to continue to work by his power to reveal who he is. And to him be glory in the church. His glory, his presence, if you like, his tangible presence, him walking and standing in the midst of our church and people being able to see him, not just on a Sunday, but when we go out, we carry his presence with us. I love it. Something someone said in the church last week over in Crawley, they said, I had a revelation, this lady said, that when I go to work, the whole church goes with me. So that's a revelation. She said, she's a teacher. She said, when I go into school, the whole body goes with me. Because she realises the connection. She has a connection with a body of people we call the body of Christ. And so there's a supply, not just for her directly from heaven, but there's also a supply that comes through the body. When Helena goes up to a parliament, the whole body goes with her. See, because the Spirit of God is in the body. And we are not disconnected. We're not lone rangers. We don't work just on our own. We are connected to a whole body of people. And we should become very, very aware of that. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even imagine. So whatever you've asked for, however great it might be, God wants to do more. He wants to do greater things. Don't settle just for what you believe, but believe that God wants to do greater than that. And he will do too. And then let's go to Jeremiah 32, 27. It says there, I'll just read it to you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything in your life today that's too hard? It may be too hard for you, like it is for me, but it isn't too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. It says that in Jeremiah 32, 17. There is nothing too hard for you. Whatever you're facing today, there's nothing too hard for him. God is a breakthrough God, and he's leading us into a breakthrough time. I really believe that with all of my heart. And if you come with me, let's go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, and we're going to read at verse 13, and so many of you will know the story of Joshua just before he took Jericho, just before the people took Jericho. Do you know the story? Yeah. And it says, I'm just going to read at verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes, and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or against us? And he said, no. Strange answer. He said, no. In other words, neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord of hosts, I have now come. So this is actually, you could say this is Jesus coming a bit early. This is the captain of the Lord of hosts coming from heaven before he became a man, right? The Lord actually appears, it says here, and Joshua fell on his face, and what did he do? He worshipped him and said, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. You know, we're standing on holy ground. We are standing on very holy ground right now. We're standing on holy ground. And I sense that the God is standing over us because of what is about to happen. And he has a sword in his hand. It's the sword of the gospel. It's a very, very sharp two-edged sword that he has over us. And God's going to work for us. He's going to work for his kingdom, actually. And we're going to work for him. It's not so the answer when he appeared and Joshua said, "Are you with us or are you sort of for our enemies?" He said, "Neither. I am who I am." And he's basically saying to Joshua, "Are you with me?" And I sense the greatness of God, the bigness of God. God is going to explode all over us. God is going to release so much over us and over his church in this season that we're going to just going to be in awe of his greatness because of the things that he is doing, not just in our lives, but what he's doing in the world outside of us, gathering people to Christ and working miracles. And I'm not going to read the whole story in chapter 6, but the story goes that God spoke to Joshua and said, "You're to walk around the city." Do you remember that?
Yes.
"Once each day for 6 days. And they were to blow on the trumpets too. But they weren't to say anything. They did this for 6 days. And on the seventh day, it says that God told them they were to walk around the city 7 times. And on the seventh time, this was blowing the trumpets, on the seventh time, they were to give a very loud shout. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It says that they were to shout with a loud voice. "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, not until I say so on the seventh day." And it says they shouted. And I'm just trying to find the reference here, verse 16. "And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" And what happened? The walls came down, right? And they ran and they took it. This is a picture. Church, this is a picture. This is a picture of what God is about to do for the church. And I just believe this morning in a prophetic way, I want us to do this in 2 ways. In a minute, we're going to give a shout. And we actually did this. I'm not copying what we did on Friday morning at the 8 o'clock because we had a great time there. But God actually wants us to do this morning because there's some things that are in your life that you don't need to shout at it. You need to shout God's victory over it. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, I think it's in Mark's Gospel, it says that... it says that with a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. What did he shout? "It is finished." Yes. With a loud voice, right? Because he still had all the strength. Even though life was draining from him, his spirit was just as strong. He was never defeated. His body died. He was never defeated. And when Jesus shouted with a... shouted is the right word. When he shouted with a loud voice, "It is finished." It was.
Amen.
It was done. And that voice that he shouted from the cross out there in just outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, that voice has been ringing around the universe, around the whole universe ever since there. Those words are still ringing out because words, when words are spoken, they're eternal. When they come from God, they're eternal words. And this morning, God wants us to shout. We're going to shout his victory. We're going to shout about his blood this morning. We're going to shout about his victory over sin. Maybe there's a habit you're trying to kick and it keeps tripping you up. You need to shout God's victory over it this morning. Don't need to fight it. You need to shout God's victory over it. Maybe you're struggling with there's an area in your character that you keep slipping up and getting into anger and giving bad words out. And God says, "No, that's not you. That's your old life." You need to shout over that this morning, the victory of Jesus. When we shout this morning, we're going to let the Spirit come. The Holy Spirit is going to come and be in our shout. And as we shout the victory of Jesus, you're going to find something will fall down. Something will break down. Amen? So that's our first shout. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's stand to our feet. This is a personal shout, okay, to start with. And then in a minute, we're going to shout as the church. We're going to shout over Kingdom Faith. We're going to shout over this region. We're going to shout as a church. But this morning, we're going to give a loud shout. This is a shout of victory. It may be over your family. Maybe that some of your family members aren't following Jesus the way they should be. This is a shout then this morning. We can shout God's victory over them today. Amen? So whatever it is this morning, let's just lift our hands to the Lord, shall we? Let's just lift our hands and just thank him this morning that he is here right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God, as we're about to shout. We thank you, Lord, that you raised a loud shout on the cross when you were, your body was dying, but you were declaring, it is finished. It is finished. So let's, with a loud shout, let's begin to shout his praise this morning. Hallelujah! Jesus! 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 Your victory, Lord! Your victory, Jesus! Your victory, Lord! Your victory, Jesus! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus! Jesus! Isaba! Oh, yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Praise you, Lord Jesus! Hallelujah! Just lift your hands. We're gonna give a shout this morning as a church, because Joshua couldn't do this on his own. He was part of an army. And we're part of an army. It's called the church. And God has given us a vision as a church. He's given other churches vision in this name. But basically it's to take territory. To take territory in this land. You know Jabez? In 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 4. It says that he cried out to God. So it wasn't a quiet prayer. It was a desperate prayer. Jabez. Pray, God, that you would bless me. That you would bless me. Now, we're blessed. All of us are blessed. But I want to know more of his blessing. And we are blessed in Christ. But he cried out, God, that you would bless me. And the reason he was asking God's blessing or anointing to come upon him was so that he would increase his territory. And God's saying, you must increase your territory. You must have this territorial spirit, as it were, this advancing mentality. We're moving forward. We're taking ground. We're taking Crawley, we're taking Horsham, not just as a statement, but no, we're actually stepping into it. We're actually going out there. We're actually talking to people. We're actually sharing the gospel. Jesus is actually causing us to put, if you like, feet onto our vision. You're the feet. You're the hands. You're the face. You're the smile. You know, we are. And so God wants us to shout victory. And what we're doing this morning, in the heavenly realms, there are demonic powers. And those demonic powers try to hinder the work of the kingdom. And when we shout this morning, remember the shout of Calvary. That's what God reminded me of praying last night. He said, that's the shout that you're shouting. It's that Jesus, when he said it is finished, it actually means it's complete. It's perfectly perfect. My work is done. Now it's your turn. You must enforce my victory today. So as we shout this morning, we're shouting the victory against the principalities and powers. Yes. And we're shouting the victory over people's lives this morning. Yes. That God will enable us to have a great breakthrough with the gospel, seeing people saved and born again. Amen. Yes. So let's give a loud shout this morning of victory. Come on, let's go for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Your victory, Jesus. Your victory, Lord. Your victory, Jesus. Your victory, Lord! Your victory, Lord! Shabba! Yes, Lord! Jesus! 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 It is finished! It is finished! The blood! The blood! The blood of Jesus! We declare today the powerful blood of Jesus that has redeemed us. We declare the power of your blood, Lord, over Horsham, over Crawley, over Worthing. We declare the power of your blood, Lord, over this region, against the principalities and powers. We declare the victory of your blood and of your cross today. We declare your victory, church, today, Lord. We are your victory, church. Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! Just grab hold of someone real tight and say, you're a man or a woman of victory. Make sure that you know which they are. Okay. Okay, please take your seats. Hallelujah. God's releasing victory, my friends. And it says in the New Testament that he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to make sure we use the victory that is given to us. Some of the time we don't, and that's why we have issues and problems and difficulties that we kind of come under. But God says, no, no. He says, I've given you the victory. So if you have something you're contending with, shout. Shout his victory. Declare his victory. Speak his victory, but shout his victory and you'll have breakthrough. God's been taught me, when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I found myself shouting. I thought, I've never shouted like this before. I would drive to work and I'd go, whoa, I really shout real, real loud. Anyone seen would have thought, well, this guy's weird. But I found that there was such victory. I learned to shout in my early days of being baptized in the Spirit, and have done really ever since. There's a victory shout God wants us to have. And it really does release his power, his victory, and pushes the enemy out of the way. Aren't you glad? Yes. Isaiah 60 says this. Now you tell me what Isaiah 60 says. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness will cover the earth. See, darkness covers the earth. You know, last week I was witnessing to a drug addict in the middle of Broadfield, and he's well known. He's well known. He has a drug and a drink issue, and he desperately needs Jesus. So I'm praying for him. He'll be saved. God save this man. I'm shouting the victory over his life. So what he does, he comes up to me to kind of ridicule me and pull me down. So I just started to engage in conversation very gently with him, because if you just give him a sharp scripture or a sharp truth back, he'll react in the wrong way. So I was very gentle with him, and I found what he did was, while I was witnessing to him, he'd call over to, hey, Harry, you need Jesus, don't you? So I'd share with Harry about Jesus and then come back to him, and then he goes, hey, Mabel, you need Jesus, don't you? So I go over and talk to Mabel about Jesus. And all these different people, it seemed like he knew everyone at the bus stop at Broadfield. So I had this great time of witnessing for about an hour to all these different people. And finally he said to this dear lady, her name was Sasha, but he didn't know that. He didn't even know her. He said, oh, that lady, she needs to hear about Jesus, Paul. I said, OK, I'll go and talk to her. So I went to talk to her. Anyway, she really listened to the gospel. Her name was Sasha. She was really fascinated, really, about this little saga going on at the bus stop in Broadfield. But the great thing is she listened to the message. And I said, Sasha, you need Jesus. And he died on the cross for you. And all you need to do is ask his forgiveness, ask him to come, and then you have this incredible relationship with him. Where do you meet, she said. I said, we meet at Oriel School in Maidenbower every Sunday, 10:30. Here's a card. I said, make sure you come. And gave her a good newspaper. See, we have opportunities every day. That's my opportunity. I could use it or lose it, but I made something of my opportunity. We're to make the most of every opportunity. See, sometimes we have opportunities that we don't make anything of, so we lose an opportunity. God wants us to make the most of every opportunity. That means you have to make it happen in the Holy Spirit. So I say to God, I can't do this, but you can. I don't know what I'm going to say when I knock on this door, but you know. And so God enables me to speak the right words at the right time in the right way. I mean, I remember knocking on a door in Bewbush once. Oh, I know, it rang the doorbell and this lady answered. She said, hello. And I said, hello. It's okay, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. And she said, well, I am. So I sent one of them quick prayers up, came back quite quick. I said, well, actually, I am. I am a witness of Jehovah. I am a witness of Jehovah. And she said, which church do you belong to? I said, Kingdom Faith Church. It really floored her. And then I shared the gospel, and then we got so far and no further. So I had to disappear because she didn't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. And that was a sticking point. But anyway, at least I was able to share the love of Jesus. She said, I don't know anyone that knocks on people's doors. I do. I said, I've got some friends that do as well. So she was shocked that there was some other people on this earth that tell people about the Lord, and free to do it as well, very free and happy about it. Anyway, Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, says, "Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you." I don't know if you know that. I remember a few years ago, only a couple of years ago, we had a Muslim man come into a Sunday morning service. And we've witnessed to him for a long period of time. And I knew God was, and he's still doing stuff in his life. But he sat right at the back with a friend, and halfway through the meeting, he went really, really pale. Have I told you the story before?
No.
He went really pale, really pale. You know, just before someone's sick. I mean, he was that pale. I could see him. He was white. Something troubled him. But when I talked to him after the meeting, I said to him, I said, "Muhammad, how did you find it this morning?" So he said, "Well, there was two things that really trouble me." He said, "The first thing is when you prayed and at the beginning of the meeting, you said, 'Holy Spirit, please come and take over. Please come into our meeting this morning and something about Jesus.'" I said, "I did." And he said, "Well, I don't think anyone else in your church actually saw it, but I saw the ceiling lift off, the roof lift off in the top left-hand corner where, you know, behind you. And this bright light began to shine in, and it came in the light and it began to fill the whole meeting." He said, "I've never seen that before. I've been to churches before, but I've never seen that before." He said, "I don't think anyone else in your church saw it." Well, I didn't see it, but I knew he'd come. And then he said the other thing is, he said, "When you were standing and you began to speak and preach," he said, "who was that was standing by your side on the left?" He's very, very tall. He said, "I could see up to about his waist was up here somewhere. I couldn't see anything more than that. I couldn't make out who was that." You see, we are blessed. We don't realize or don't believe, or maybe the two things sometimes, just how much God has done and who he is in you today. Just because you don't feel him all the time, just because you don't have a vision of him 24 hours a day, doesn't mean he's not there. And he's living in us as a body. I think the more we grab hold of that, he's living with us as a body. That's why I respect anyone that calls himself a Christian. I'm careful, very careful, because I realize Jesus stands between me and them. And we need to recognize this is the body. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. His glory is over us as a church. And we need to carry that glory. It's the glory of God. It's the presence of him in our lives that impacts people that don't know him. And that we're living in this season. And even though there's darkness all around, deep darkness over the people, it says the Lord will arise over you. Well, he has. And he is. He's risen over us. He's reigning over us this morning. He's actually very, very near to us. He's here. And he's covering us with his hand. And it says his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light. Very, very quickly, come with me to Isaiah 6, because these are the scriptures that God gave me for this morning. Isaiah chapter 6. In Colossians, you don't have to turn there, but in Colossians it says that God says, "I will open to you a door for the word." Yeah. That's my prayer. God, open a door for your word in our region. Open a door for your word wherever we go, in Parliament, or wherever it is that God sent you. Because this river of his presence is going to carry the word. So we need to pray, God, that will open a door for his word, the word of the gospel, the word about who he is. Amen? If you pray that prayer, God will use you. But here's a very dangerous prayer we're going to pray before we, as we finish this morning. Isaiah chapter 6. You know how it goes? It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above it was stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. These are great big angels. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another. And what do they say? Except when they said it, they didn't say it like that. Have you ever been winded? Someone's winded you. Yes. If you've ever been winded, something else comes out. Whew. And this, that when the presence of God comes in this kind of power, it's like you're winded. It's like you're melted. It's like, I can't move. I can't do anything. God, you're so big. I'm nothing. In fact, you can't do anything. You're pinned to you could be pinned to the floor. That's the presence of God. That's the manifest presence of God. This is what Isaiah experienced. So he goes, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." He's experiencing the tangible presence of God. He's not just reading it off a screen or singing it off the screen. The whole earth is full of his glory. He has a vision. that the whole earth is full of his glory, and one day it will be. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he took with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. Very, very important that our mouths are real, real clean. Yes. Things in our hearts come out of our mouths. Somewhere along the line, something will come out of our mouths that shouldn't have been there. That's because something's in my heart that need to be cleansed. And so Isaiah's a great prophet. He's a holy man. He's close to God. But even he realizes in his presence, I need a fresh cleansing. And so he gets cleansed and his sin is purged. Verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? Plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? Do you see that? God saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah's response, we're going to close with a song of worship, if we could. Is that okay? Yeah. And as we close with this song of worship, just in a new way this morning, our eyes shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Upon us as a body, but upon us as individuals too, as part of that body. And if you're saying afresh this morning, here am I, Lord, send me. It's a very dangerous prayer. Let me tell you, we prayed this last week in Crawley. And I kind of, as I began to pray myself, I thought, God, this could take me anywhere. This could take me anywhere. But it's a great prayer to pray. If you really want to say, Jesus, here I am, send me. We're called a sending church, but we need to be a sent people. We're sent every day. God is sending us. Whatever it is we do, let's stand to our feet. And if you want to respond to this as we worship with this song of worship, I want you to come out of your seat and just come down the front and just offer yourself up to God this morning. Here am I, Lord, send me. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Just come down the front. If you're saying afresh today, God, here I am, send me. Use me. I'm available. Whatever it means, I don't know. Whatever it costs, I've already decided I'm following you 100%. This is for the gospel. This is to carry the message of Jesus. This is to be witnesses. This is to take territory for God. This is to stand in that place where God can use you and with others. It's not just doing it all on your own, but you work with others in the body. We work as a team.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.